from Vermont Public. This is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Wednesday, April 10th, and here are today's headlines. Supporters of a bill banning the sale of flavored tobacco and vaping products are looking for votes to override the governor's veto. It's a bill that's attracted a lot of lobbyist money. According to the latest filing with the Secretary of State's office, opponents have spent roughly $190,000, and supporters have spent roughly $330,000 on the bill. Governor Phil Scott says the ban is hypocritical because Vermont allows the sale of flavored alcohol and cannabis products. But Chittenden Senator and lead bill sponsor Ginny Lyons says the governor's analysis doesn't take into consideration the addictive nature of nicotine and how flavored products appeal to young people. And to override the veto, she needs to find two senators to flip their original vote.
In the past, we've had a much stronger vote in the Senate, so I wouldn't give up on that at all.
If the override effort is successful in the Senate, it will then face a major challenge in the House. And speaking of the House, lawmakers there have dropped their attempt to impeach Franklin County Sheriff John Grismore because his alleged misconduct occurred before he took office. Grismore faces an assault charge for kicking a shackled man in the groin in August of 2022 while he was a deputy sheriff. He was fired from the department but was still elected sheriff afterward. The House committee considering impeachment found that Grismore hasn't abused the power of his office since he became sheriff last year. However, the committee called on Grismore to resign and said he was doing Franklin County a disservice by staying in office. Grismore, though, says he has no plans to step down.
Yeah, I'm certainly happy that this part of this process has finally, come to a close.
State regulators stripped Grismore of his law enforcement credentials after determining he violated state use of force policies during the incident. And Vermont State Police are reportedly investigating financial issues at the department. You probably heard the warnings. Rescue organizations around the state begging people to stay out of the backcountry during Monday's eclipse, fearing teams would not be able to reach them or wouldn't have time to. It seems the warnings worked. There were no backcountry rescues on Eclipse Day, according to Vermont Emergency Management. That's not to say they weren't prepared, though. Stowe EMS Chief Scott Brinkman says crews were ready to go if needed.
Our mountain rescue team kind of mobilized themselves into a couple of different corners of town in preparation for there being some kind of an emergency and maybe then having trouble in traffic getting to it. But they did not end up having to respond to any emergencies.
State officials predicted up to 160,000 people could visit Vermont for the eclipse with good weather, but they haven't released estimates on that figure yet. There are other concerns, though, regarding the outdoors as Vermont's mud season gets underway. Land managers are urging hikers to look out for trail closures. Trails on state lands, which opened briefly for the eclipse, are now closed until Memorial Day. Chloe Miller is with the nonprofit Green Mountain Club, which maintains trails in Vermont. She says human-caused climate change is making Vermont's mud season more damaging to trails.
One thing that we've been seeing over the last couple of years is just that you can now see mud season equivalent conditions really any month of the year.
Miller says hiking on muddy trails causes erosion and damages delicate natural ecosystems. The Green Mountain Club says hikers should stick to lower elevation trails, dirt roads, rail trails, and gravel paths this time of year. And when you do encounter mud on a trail, the club says it's better to hike straight through instead of stepping around the mud. Coming up, friends and colleagues in Montpelier reflect on the decades of public service from Grand Isle Senator Dick Mazza, who announced his retirement this week. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
The Vermont Senate has lost one of its most respected and influential members. Grand Isle Senator Dick Mazza was diagnosed with cancer last year, and he resigned from the chamber on Monday due to declining health. Mazza's colleagues say his steady hand has guided their work for the past 40 years, and his departure signals a potentially generational change in the Senate, where some of the most tenured members are also considering retirement. Vermont Public's Peter Hirschfeld has this dispatch from Montpelier.
I didn't know how many people were there at the 8 o'clock. The swiveling black leather chair at the head of the antique wood table in the Senate Transportation Committee sat noticeably empty on Tuesday morning. And as the four remaining committee members began their day's work, Vice Chair Andrew Perchlick, a Democratic senator from Washington County, acknowledged the void.
This is the first day in 39 years that Senator Dick Mazza has not been in the Transportation Committee.
Mazza, a Democrat, has chaired the Transportation Committee since 1991. He's also served as mentor and confidant to some of the most recognizable names in Vermont politics. Peter Welch, Howard Dean, Peter Shumlin, Phil Scott, and Becca Ballin all credit Mazza's counsel with bending their political trajectories in some form or fashion. Mazza played his star role in Montpelier almost entirely behind the scenes.
So we just wanted to recognize that we miss Senator Mazza greatly and recognize his long service sitting in this committee. I feel like we kind of need to leave the chair vacant forever, but at some point, maybe, but this is Dick Mazza's chair.
Ask anyone who's anyone in the State House about what made Mazza the legend he's become, and you're likely to hear a version of how Caledonia County Senator Jane Kitchell explains it.
He was incredibly fair, and his first love was the integrity of the Senate. And he really did not engage in political retribution. He did not really carry grudges that we sometimes see in this building.
Fairness, Mazza's colleagues say, was his currency in Montpelier. And his innate ability to remain calm, no matter the intensity of the political storm surrounding him. That's according to Lamoille County Senator Rich Westman, a Republican.
When you're in the middle of the whirlwind of an issue and you think everything is up in the air, he was grounded towards the center.
Mazza is a Democrat, but not always, or even usually, the sort of Democrat who thinks government is the solution to Vermonters' problems. Here he is during a floor speech in 2013.
As most of you know, I'm not a big fan of raising taxes.
Mazza found a political soulmate of sorts in Phil Scott when the construction company owner, who was best known for racing cars at Thunder Road, was elected to the state Senate in the early 2000s. Scott counts Mazza's mentorship as one of the defining factors in his ascent to the governor's office. But all roads to higher office in Vermont seem to run through the back office at Mazza's general store in Colchester. Chittenden County Senator Phil Baruth says it was an obligatory stop when he decided to pursue the position of Senate President pro tem.
You talk with him about your ambitions, you talk with him about what you want to do, and then he gives you a pie as you leave.
Baruth says Mazza's boundless generosity is one of the reasons he's engendered so much trust among fellow senators. But it's his position on the Committee on Committees, where he served since 1997, that lends him force. The role gives him outsized influence in determining who sits on what Senate committees. Baruth says it's a power that's difficult to understand if you don't serve in the legislature.
Every time something really important is going down, you find yourself in Mazza's store talking it out.
Orleans Senator Bobby Starr has been working with Mazza in Montpelier for almost four decades.
Yeah, he was always a super good guy.
And he's concerned about what Mazza's departure represents. Starr, a Democrat who was first elected to the House in 1978, says he's thinking seriously about not running for re-election this year. He says other elder members in the body are also contemplating leaving.
I mean, we've witnessed the changing of the guard, you may say, on the House side. And it really makes you wonder.
That changing of the guard in the House, Starr says, has coincided with the shift to the left and a newfound willingness to rely on significant tax increases to fund new government programs, such as the $130 million in tax increases that House lawmakers passed last month. Starr says the Senate, though controlled by Democrats, has provided fiscal counterbalance in the legislature, and he's worried about the politics of the people who will eventually replace members of the old guard, like him.
And if it gets to be like the House side, it will, I think, be very disruptive to our citizens.
Baruth says that, based on conversations he's had with his members, the Senate will see a major roster change sooner than later. The beginning of this biennium saw the swearing-in of 10 first-year senators. Baruth says he expects more than five more incumbents to hand over the reins in 2024.
When we meet in January, more than half of the senators will have 2 years or less experience, which is a sea change by any standard.
Back in the Senate Transportation Committee, colleagues recalled Maz's easy laugh and the seemingly endless supply of sweets he'd bring them from his store.
You'll miss him. But as he would want, we will continue working to the state. So in that vein, we are going to talk about A68.
And with that, the committee resumed deliberations on miscellaneous changes to Vermont's transportation laws. For Vermont Public, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Bob Kinzel, Leah Melder Connors, Carly Berlin, and Abigail Giles. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.